I invite you to open your Bible this morning to Philippians chapter 1. I'd like for us to look at verses 12 and following of the first chapter of Philippians. Those of us who think we might have gotten up close to a case of COVID are supposed to be careful and cautious for a couple of weeks. So for one more Sunday, I'm going to slip out and try to avoid being too close to you, especially anyone who might be vulnerable health-wise, and hopefully my time will be done after this Sunday. Philippians 1, verses 12 and following, and we're going to, it's a lengthy passage I want to look at today, so we'll be getting there in just a moment. But let me first tell you about a saying that has been around for quite some time. It's grown quite popular. In fact, if I start the saying, I imagine that you will be able to finish it. The saying is, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. The saying is quite vivid, isn't it? We all know that lemon juice is very sour. We also know that you can take that sour lemon juice and add some water and add some sugar and make a tart but delicious and refreshing drink that we call lemonade. The saying is also very appropriate because life tends to give us plenty of lemons. Life tends to give us plenty of sour, bitter, distasteful, uncomfortable circumstances. And we can endure those situations bitterly with a scowl on our face, or we can add the sugar and the water of a good disposition and turn them into something more positive like lemonade. I doubt if the Apostle Paul ever heard the phrase turning lemons to lemonade. But he certainly believed in and practiced the philosophy behind the saying. Since becoming a Christian, Paul had been handed loads of lemons. An interesting thing to do would be to open up your Bible to Acts chapter 9 and read the rest of the book of Acts. And every time you see the Apostle Paul encounter a lemon, make a note of it. It'll keep you busy for quite some time. In fact, you don't need to turn there, but let me give you kind of a laundry list of some of the lemons that Paul faced. He listed them for the Corinthians. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I have worked much harder, talking about his opponents, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was once stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Yes, Paul faced his share of lemons, but he was an absolute pro at turning those lemons into lemonade. Let's notice 3 lemons here in Philippians 1 that Paul faced. Notice how he, with a good attitude, with an attitude of faith, turned them into lemonade. And notice what we can learn from this process. Lemon number 1 that Paul faced, unfair predicaments. Unfair predicaments. If you'll look in Philippians 1 now and look at verse 12. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard to everyone that I am in chains or imprisoned for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. As Paul writes these words, he is sitting in prison. And he is not in prison because he is a criminal. He is in prison because he is a Christian. We believe that Paul had been in prison 4 years when he wrote these words. 2 years in Caesarea and then 2 more years in Rome where he was when he penned this letter. And so you imagine sitting in prison for 4 years knowing that you had committed no crime. Sounds like a lemon, doesn't it? But notice how Paul turned the lemon into lemonade. There were two ways primarily. He looked at his imprisonment as an opportunity to have contact with the lost and to give courage to the saved. First of all, contact with the lost. Paul had taken advantage of many evangelistic opportunities during this 4 year imprisonment. Every time he had some sort of meeting, every time he appeared before somebody, he didn't just defend himself and assert his innocence, he preached Christ. He preached to Jewish councils. He preached to Roman governors and other high-ranking officials. He even preached to a king. And now Paul was in prison in Rome, and he quite literally was chained to a Roman guard around the clock. Now, they looked at Paul, I'm sure, as a captive, but he looked at them as a captive audience. And you can be sure that every guard chained to Paul knew very well the story of the gospel, the message of the gospel, because Paul was going to give it to them. Some here this morning may feel chained. Maybe you're raising young children. And there is no job better than that. There's no job more wonderful than that. And there's no job harder than that. It's 24/7 and you don't get away from it. Turn that into lemonade. Remind yourselves that while you are raising your children, the days may be long, but the years are short. And remind yourself that if you are raising those children to be Christian adults one day, then you are doing a great work for God and for this world. Some of you may be chained by what seems like a dead-end job. Would you find a way to make lemonade out of that? Realize, first of all, that the job is providing money for you, and you can use that to support yourself and your family. Remind yourself that there are some good things about the job and focus on those as much as you can. Try to take that job and turn it not just into a job in your mind or even a career. Try to turn it into a calling. And also look around you at your coworkers and realize some of them surely are not Christians, and you have an opportunity to share Christ with them. You have a captive audience that you can tell about Christ. Contact with the lost. And also courage to the saved. That's how Paul turned this lemon of his imprisonment into lemonade. Did you notice it in verse 14? Paul says, because of my chains, because of my imprisonment, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. When Christians heard that Paul was in prison on trumped up charges, and when they heard that he was holding on to his faith, when they heard that he was maintaining a positive attitude, when they heard that he was actually continuing to minister to the people who came to see him and through writing letters, they were encouraged to try even harder in their Christian lives. And why would they not have been? Look at Paul over here. He's locked up, falsely charged. He still has his faith and he's still working for God. And I can't. Out here free and things going well, I can't. Sure I can. And they got busy serving the Lord. Therapist and author Wayne C. Allen has written an article that he calls The Myth of Fairness. In 30 years of doing personal counseling, he has come to realize that a lot of what is driving people to see him for therapy, a lot of what is making people unhappy and even mentally ill, is this idea that life has to be fair. And not only fair, but fair in the way that we define it. Here's what he says. By fair, my patient means usually this. I want to be treated as special. Never have anything go wrong and always get my way. I want my needs considered before and above everyone else's. I want all sickness, war, poverty, and pestilence to stop, at least as it affects me, and I want it to stop now. My parents should be perfect. My partner should be perfect. My kids should be perfect. And what I mean by perfect is that they act like I want them to act, never get sick or die on me, and always strive to keep me happy. Anything less just isn't fair. He says at the conclusion of the little article, have a look at your fairness list. Write it down and notice how bad you feel. Then give yourself a shake, burn the list, and decide that what you're going to do is get over the need to have more and to get your way and to be protected from life and to be treated as special. Folks, there is a myth that many people believe, and it is making them miserable, and it is life should be fair. It's not. Life wasn't fair to Paul, but Paul turned those sour circumstances into something sweet by his disposition, and you can too. So lemon number one, unfair predicament. Lemon number two, unkind people. Unkind people, if you're with us in the text, look at 15 through 18. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here in prison, that is, for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether by false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Now, you talk about adding insult to injury. Paul is in prison because of his faith in Christ, and there are preachers, Christians, who are using Paul's imprisonment against him. They are jealous and envious of the success that Paul has had in ministry. They consider him a rival. And their motive for preaching Christ is actually just to make more trouble for Paul. Sounds like a lemon. How did Paul turn it into lemonade? By focusing on the fact that some preachers out there were still preaching out of a sincere love for God and a sincere love for the Apostle Paul. He didn't fall into this trap where if a few are doing it, everybody's doing it. We call that all or nothing thinking, and it leads to depression. If one thing goes wrong, then everything goes wrong. No, just one thing is wrong. And Paul says some preachers are doing that, but some preachers are preaching with pure motives. Also, Paul realized that God can even use insincere preachers to get his message out. Now, Paul was a good Jew. He knew his Old Testament, and he knew the story of Jonah. You think Jonah wanted to preach at Nineveh? You think he loved those people? You think he wanted them to repent and be forgiven? Oh, you better read the book again if you think any of that. And yet God used Jonah's preaching to create an incredible revival. an incredible repentance. The whole city, the book of Jonah says, of Nineveh, repented through an insincere preacher named Jonah. Now, does that mean that motives don't matter? It does not. Motives matter in the sight of God. 1 Corinthians 13, for example, tells us that we can do great works. We can do great acts of service. We can even give our body to be burned. And God says, if you don't do it out of love, then it means nothing to me. So yes, motives are important. But each Christian should examine his own motives, her own motives, and let God judge the motives of others. Paul faced unkind people. Folks, there are many people in our world who are unkind. And that unkindness seems magnified these days because so many people get behind a keyboard and they type things that they would never say looking you face to face, don't they? There are some people who would like to change this saying from if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. They'd like to say if life gives you lemons, squirt people in the eye with the juice, right? There are even some young Christians in our community who've been stung with unkindness recently, and you know about it. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes was taken to task in the local newspaper for going outside the school and joining hands and saying a prayer. There was an article in the newspaper that suggested that this act was rebellious and reckless. There was even a quote in there that suggested that it was a deliberate attempt to spread COVID-19. Now, our young people wonder why other articles haven't been written about other events and activities. They wonder why there hasn't been an article, for example, about sports continuing. Somehow it is more dangerous to take hands for a brief prayer than it is to tackle and pile on top of one another for 2 hours, apparently. Our young people wonder if this had not been a prayer but a protest, what would the headline have said? And what would the tone of the article have been like? They wonder. And can I just say to young people, when you feel the sting of unkindness because of your faith in Christ, wear it like a badge of honor. And you know that when someone is unkind to you because of your faith in Christ, you are in great company. You are standing right there with a great man, the Apostle Paul. And may I remind all of us that what we're trying to do as Christians is follow in the steps of Jesus, and those steps lead to a cross. And if I think I'm going to follow in Jesus' steps and never suffer, I am mistaken. Jesus was sinless. Jesus was perfect, and he could not please everybody. I think I can. Now, when someone is unkind to me because of my faith, I'm going to wear it like a badge of honor, and I'm going to say I have never been in better company because I'm in company with the Apostle Paul. I'm in company with the Lord Jesus himself, and I'm going to double down on my efforts to show my faith to the world. Unkind people. Third and finally, uncertain prospects. That's the third lemon. Uncertain prospects. If you're with us in the text, look back at verse 18 here in Philippians 1. Paul's been talking about preachers who preach with insincere motives. And he says in the B part of the verse, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. The final lemon that we'll talk about that Paul was facing would be uncertain prospects. Paul did not know for sure how this imprisonment would turn out. He had a hunch, but he didn't know for sure. He knew that the Roman government had the power to release him or hold him indefinitely or kill him. And it was their call to make. Paul faced an uncertain future, but he made lemonade out of that lemon by trusting in the prayers of the Philippians and the provision of the Holy Spirit. He knew the Philippian Christians were praying. He knew that the Holy Spirit was providing. And that just gave Paul a calm, confident assurance that this all was going to work out for good for him. A little boy went to a pet shop to pick out a puppy to buy. He looked into the cage and there were all these little puppies, but he looked at one especially, and this little puppy was just wagging that tail just furiously, and he pointed at that one and said, "I want the one with the happy ending." And Paul says, "Well, you know what? I want a happy ending, and because of my faith in Christ, I know one's coming. If I get out of jail, it's going to be a happy ending. And if they execute me, it's going to be a happy ending. And if there's anything else in between, if I hold on to my faith, it's going to be a happy ending." Folks, if we've learned anything in 2020, we have learned that the future is uncertain. I know there have been things that I take for granted and have taken for granted for 50 years, and I expected them to happen and they never happened. I don't know about you, but I'm going to stay up till midnight on New Year's Eve. And it's not going to be to ring in a new year. I'm going to make sure 2020 actually leaves. And if I'm going to wait, if I'm going to postpone my joy until everything about my present and future is certain, I'm going to be waiting a long time. And if I postpone my joy until everybody is kind to me, I'm going to be waiting a long, long time. Paul says, don't do it. Just take those lemons and turn them into lemonade. Some of you have heard me share about the little boy who was playing in the backyard, and his mom was at the sink doing the dishes and watching and listening out the window. He had a ball and a baseball bat, and he made an announcement like he was at a big stadium, and he said, "Best hitter ever coming up to the plate." He took that ball and looked at it carefully, threw it up in the air, took a mighty swing with that bat, and he missed, and he said, "Strike one." Picked up the ball a second time, tossed it up in the air, took an even mightier swing, missed it, strike two. Picked it up a third time, looked at it very, very carefully, threw it up in the air, took the mightiest swing ever, and missed it, strike three, you're out. The boy picked up the ball and he looked at it. A wide smile broke across his face and he said, "Best pitcher ever." Folks, if we have faith like the Apostle Paul had, when things don't go our way, and sometimes they won't, We can find a positive way to look at it and feel about it. And we can press on in our service to God and our fellow man. May God help us do just that. I guess the worst lemon that I could think about would be being lost in sin. Living in spiritual darkness, headed for an eternity apart from God in a place the Bible calls hell. What a lemon. And you can turn it into lemonade by having faith in Jesus and confessing that faith, by confessing your sin and turning from it, by putting on Jesus in baptism and allowing him to wash your sins away. If you need to do that this morning, what a great opportunity you have. We offer that opportunity right now as together we stand and as we sing.